chapter. And because of the length of the passage, I will have you sit down today. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it." So Joshua and all the fighting men arose to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them out by night. And he commanded them, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you remain ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. And when they come out against us, just as before, we shall flee before them. And they will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing from us just as before.' So we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will give it into your hand. And as soon as you have taken the city, you shall set the city on fire. You shall do according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you." So Joshua sent them out, and they went to the place of ambush and lay between Bethel and Ai, and to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent the night among the people. Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the fighting men who were with him went up and drew near before the city and encamped on the north side of Ai, with a ravine between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So they stationed the forces, the main encampment that was north of the city and its rear guard west of the city. But Joshua spent that night in the valley. And as soon as the king of Ai saw this, he and all his people, the men of the city, hurried and went out early to the appointed place toward the Arabah to meet Israel in battle. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled in the direction of the wilderness. So all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua, and as they pursued Joshua, they were drawn away from the city. Not a man was left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the javelin in his hand toward the city. And the men in the ambush rose quickly out of their place. And as soon as he stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it. They hurried to set the city on fire. So when the men of Ai looked back, behold, the smoke of the city went up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that, for the people who fled to the wilderness turned back against the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city went up, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And the others came out of the city against them, so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And Israel struck them down until there was left none that survived or escaped. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him near Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the open wilderness, where they pursued them, and all of them to the very last had fallen by the edge of the sword, all Israel returned to Ai and struck it down with the edge of the sword. And all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. But Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had devoted all the inhabitants of Ai to destruction. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as their plunder, according to the word of the Lord that he commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it forever a heap of ruins, as it is to this day. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. We really cannot begin to understand the Lord's counsel to us in this passage this morning without reminding ourselves of what we were to learn in chapter 7. In chapter 7, we were reminded of the message of Psalm 128. Let me quote a portion of that psalm for you. Blessed, which means happy, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. So Israel and Christians have learned a different way to pursue happiness. And yes, we expect difficulty. Yes, we know there will be toil and hardship. But there are no tricks involved in getting in on this life of blessing or happiness. We simply become Christians and begin the life of faith. We acknowledge God as our Maker, our Savior, our Lover, and accept Christ as the means by which we can be in loving relationship with God. We accept the announced and proclaimed truth that God is at the center of our existence. Find out how he has constructed the world, how he has provided for our redemption, and proceed to walk in his way. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So to walk in his ways means that we not only let God be God as he really is, but we start doing the things for which he made us. We take a certain route. We follow certain directions. We do specified things. There are ethical standards to follow. There are moral values to foster. There are spiritual disciplines to practice. There is social justice to pursue. And there are personal relationships within the body to develop. And none of this is difficult to understand. And no doubt we will not do this perfectly and without fault. But that really isn't the point. The way is plain. Walk in it. Do not be like Achan. Now, keeping the rules and obeying the commands is only common sense. And people who are forever breaking the rules, trying other roads, attempting to create their own system of values and truth from scratch, spend most of their lives calling up someone to get out of trouble and help repair the damages. And then they have the gall to ask, well, what went wrong? Chapter 7 of Joshua taught us this: if you go against the grain of the universe, you will get splinters. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be blessed. Yet, too many people are willfully refusing to pay attention to the one who wills our blessedness, our happiness, and ignorantly supposing that the Christian way is a harder way to get what they want than doing it on their own. But, as we saw in chapter 7 with Achan, they're wrong. God's ways and God's presence are where we experience this happiness that the psalm promises, the happiness that lasts. And God is shouting to us, do it the easy way. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. So that was the teaching of chapter 7. In chapter 8, we see the fulfillment and blessing of those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. So what do we learn about those who walk in the ways of the Lord? We learn that when we build our lives on the character of God and the ways of God and doing the things that God tells us, blessing will come. That's His promise. Notice the teaching in verses 1 and 2. We are taught, first heading, about the help of God, the power of God. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Remember, these people had beat them before. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. Remember, Ai was a little city, something they could do on their own. No big deal. Small, right? Nothing like Jericho. But take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand. Into your hand the king of Ai and his people, this city and this land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it. So we're told about the help and the power of God. Notice that God is in such control that He even specifies the precise moment of the ambush. Even the ambush is not the bright idea of Joshua or the men of valor or the people of God, but part of God's word. So, what is the point? Let me quote 2 Corinthians 4:7. What's the point? In order to show us that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So God's people must have God's help, God's power, even for our little task, Ai. Remember, with the power of God, the great Jericho could be taken, chapter 6. And without the blessing and the help and the power of God, not even the smallest issues could be overcome. And thus the people's hearts melted. They thought they would be destroyed. So what's the point? How utterly dependent God's people are upon God's help, God's power, God's presence for any success. It's very true, isn't it? And that power, that help, that blessing is based upon our willingness to find happiness in His way. A direct contrast to chapter 7. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Now, how many times has the Lord given you courage and strength and supernatural power in the midst of your fear and weakness to do what pleases Him? You can't count the times, can you? Over and over, this has been true of the normal Christian's life. God has promised to give you His help in your time of need. And that is the point of the great Psalm number 46. God is our help. God is our refuge and ever-present help in the time of trouble. And if you're anything like me, you experience trouble and you need immediate help. You may not feel that you can move forward with obedience. Everything seems to be crashing down around you. Your heart is sad. You might not see how obedience helps you, But the text is saying, God is saying, even though you can't see it, that does not matter. Do what is before you. Do what the Lord says, and in Him, based upon Psalm 28 and the blessings and cursings of the law, happiness will result. Happiness in the Lord. So Paul did not say, or did not Paul say, I can do all things that God puts in front of me. I can do all things through Him who continually gives me strength. And that's true for us. Seek the Lord, and He will reward you with His help, with His power, and with His presence. That's what verses 1 and 2 mean. So with those who walk in the Lord, walk in the Lord's ways, we learn that they have the power and the help of God in their everyday task. You young mothers are saying, I've got to change a diaper again. You fathers are saying, I have to go to work again. Right? Every day do you wake up and say, yeah, same old stuff. No, no, no. Happiness is there when we say, yes, Lord. You're worthy to obey. Be obeyed. He gives help to His people. So we also learn that those who walk in the Lord's way will experience His generous gifts. Did you notice that in verse 2? And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its livestock shall you take as plunder for yourselves. Note that the spoils were not to be taken from Jericho. Do not do that, Achan, even though it's going to get cold and you like the coat. Do not take that gold, even though you think that can make me rich. Do not take those little idols so you can stare at them and hide them in your tent. Don't do that. You couldn't do it in Jericho. But here the Lord generously gives to those who love Him and follow in His ways. Do you see that? Why? When God's priority is recognized, He always gives good gifts to His people generously, and He gives them in His time. So please understand that this God we serve never seeks to impoverish His people. It is only as His people lose sight of His generosity, thank you, Achan, when they lose sight of His generosity, His daily provision, His radical daily goodness, that the cancer of covetousness consumes them. Now, is that not what happened to Eve? When the tempter came and placed emphasis on the restriction that God had imposed, rather on the massive riches that He had lavished. Just don't do this one thing. Meaning, you're not a robot. You have free choice. Don't do this one thing. But they were in the Garden of Eden where everything, there was no curse, there was no pain. There was nothing but to enjoy and cultivate the goodness of God and the earth, to name the animals, to be creative, to make art. But the tempter placed emphasis on the restriction God had imposed, rather on the riches that He had lavished. And she believed the lie that God, this God, the Creator, was withholding what was good from her. Right? Holding out what was for her good. Happiness always comes by recognizing God as this gracious, giving God. And this is always the prerequisite for faithfulness and contentment. Recognizing God's goodness is always the cure for complaining, like the Israelites did in the desert. They weren't complaining to God, they were complaining about God. You are a bad father. Look at my life. Where are we going to get anything to drink? Where are we going to get anything to eat? You brought us out here to kill us. and it infuriated him. Recognizing God's goodness is always the cure for complaining and leaving the faith. What do you have that you have not received? You know, a brother called me up last night and said, you know what, I'm just sitting out here on my deck enjoying God's good creation, and I can't believe his goodness to me. And you know, pastorally, I thought, okay, what does he really want? How can I help you? And he said, I just wanted to share that with you. And I thought, praise God Almighty, that someone in this local body was saying, look what God has given to me. I am overwhelmed by it. So not only do we learn that those who walk in God's ways experience his help and his good gifts, in verse 29, we also see that those who follow the Lord respect his solemn judgment. I'll quote the text. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. We tend to cringe when we really believe the Word of God. We tend to cringe at such descriptions. Listen to Deuteronomy 21, 22 through 23. It gives us some help here. Let me quote it. If a man guilty of a capital offense is put to death and his body is hung on a tree, you must not leave his body on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. The hanging of the king of Ai is probably to be viewed, or is to be viewed, in this light. Here is this solemn sign that the king of Ai and his people stand under this holy God's judgment. Why? Their wickedness had risen to such a state. So it was so overwhelming. It was so practiced among them that the Lord felt it necessary to exercise his justice. And sometimes the Lord must stoop to such spectacles. Else we might never fear sin. There's the guy on the tree. Now we made a heap of stones. Even at this moment, you and I might not be overwhelmed by the gravity of God's judgment. Saying, well, that was only something that happened back to the king, to the king of Ai back in 1400 BC. And yet, for the hardness of our hearts, God has given us another picture of his judgment, hasn't he? The king of the Jews hanging on a tree. And Paul says in Galatians, thinking of that tree, having become a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That is why the Jews did not believe Jesus was Messiah. But that is why we do believe that he was cursed and condemned, and the wrath of God fell upon him with all of its fury instead of us. Perhaps we will not take that so lightly. Perhaps we will not say, you know, that's only something that happened back in AD 30. Lastly, so we, those who follow the Lord, respect his solemn judgment. We do. And lastly, we see that those who follow the Lord learn that God's word is absolutely crucial in our lives. Verses 34 and 35. There was not a word that all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Right before that and after he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. So notice that after Israel has just experienced the curse of God's anger, chapter 7, and then the boon of God's aid, chapter 8, what could be more appropriate than Joshua reading the blessings and the curses of the law? Nothing. And the biblical writer wants us to see something here. He wants to underscore the fact that normal faithfulness has priority over success in our personal lives. He wants to show that heeding God's word is more crucial than gaining personal victories in our lives. Now, we do remember why Israel lost the battle at Little Ai in the first place. The community as a whole did not, because of one man's sin, did not listen to and heed the crucial word of God. And thus, trouble was brought upon the people, upon the community. So here the writer wants us to notice the climax of this ceremony. The word all is used 5 times. All the people, all the words of God, all the people, even the little ones, the whole assembly, everybody was there to hear all the words of God. That would have been a long time. He's reading the whole book of Deuteronomy. And thus, all the word of the Lord is applicable and relevant for all the people of God. I mean, when I first read this, when I first taught this, I thought, I need to read my Bible again. For me. Not just to have something to say to you. I need to hear the voice of God today. So this word is not merely some official record for the archives, but the lively, personal counsel for shaping the lives of housewives, of husbands, of kids, of young adults. So, what is the point? It was this. For their own good, all the people of God must give all obedience to all of the word of God. This is and always has been the people of God's first priority. You're people of God. How do I know? We revere and we obey gladly the word of God. We want to learn it. We want to love it. And then we want to live it for our Savior's glory. And when we cease to do this, when we go our own way, when we seek to rediscover our own truth, difficulty and hardship will occur. I promise you. Don't you have friends, family members, that this is occurring in their life right now? Indeed, as the New Testament says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Again, the commands of God. God cannot be mocked. And then it says, the verse for all high schoolers, I wish I had known it then. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, the things of God, from the Spirit will reap eternal life, a quality of life, a good one. Let us not become weary in doing good. But for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This harvest mentality, meaning our choices mean a lot. everyday little ones. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. What's the result? You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and it'll taste good. You shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. So the believers there in chapter 8 and Christian believers have learned a different way to pursue happiness. How? We experience the Lord's help in our failing obedience. Grace in your time of need. We recognize and relish His lavish gifts. We fear His solemn judgment, the King of Ai, and Jesus on the cross. And we honor His word as the highest priority in our lives. Blessed, happy is he who walks in the way of the Lord. And may it be so with us, the people of God, gathered together at Calhoun Presbyterian Church. Amen. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And we learn, how does that happen? I would love to be happy in the Lord. But when you have a heart that says, I'm going to honor the Lord above myself, above my feelings, above my redefinition of truth, God gives us help. And God not only gives us help, he just gives you his rich provision and says, enjoy, laugh, dance, have fun in this. Rejoice in the Lord. And we are warned of his solemn judgment. And we are reminded of Christ on the tree. And then we're thankful. We're thankful for what he has done. And because of that, we say, I will read his word. I will obey his word. And it will be the priority in my life. That is how I show I love my Savior. And the essence of all of that whole teaching in chapter 8, is signified to you, is shown to you, is experienced by you in this sacrament. In this sacrament. All those things that have just been told you, when you eat, when you consume, when you say, yes, Lord. When the person passes to you, this is the body of Christ given to you, and it's for you. When they pass the wine and say, this is the blood of Christ given for you, you say, I need it. I want it. And the help of God comes. And you leave here happy in the Lord. That's the sacrament. That's why we take it. That's why we don't avoid it. That's why it doesn't become boring to us. So the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, it is given for you, all of you, eat of it in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant of my blood shed for the remissions of sins. This is why he hung on the tree instead of you. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance, in pondering, in setting your heart on things above for me. These are the gifts of God. They are for the people of God. And if you're not a person of God, do you want his help? Like everybody here? Do you fear his solemn judgment? Right? Do you want to just roll around in his gifts instead of just selfishly hoarding them? Say, look at what God has given to me. Maybe I can give some of my boon to others. Amen. Though the word of the Lord come down from heaven made flesh, Christ's body given to you. Eat of it, all of you, in remembrance of him. Amen. The blood of Christ given for you, drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of him.